Hello.
Hey.
Here we are. Episode 2. I'm Christina.
I'm Matt.
For those of you who don't know us, this is us. This is Real Talk with the Rochers.
Yep. Today we wanted to talk about role dynamics.
And what that means in the dating world, like what we experienced, and we'll end with what our like parenting dynamics are and how our roles play in marriage, I guess, because it's a little different.
Yeah, we take a different route than the majority of people.
Yeah, I think it's actually interesting after we had kind of talked about it before. Your approach to dating is different, but it's almost like this hybrid of courting.
Yeah, I guess I can explain how I approached dating. I got a lot of inside scoop from my friends that were girls, and they kind of told me what they look for and how they approach going on dates with people that they are just meeting. And I used the information that they gave me and I kind of changed the way that I went on dates.
When you say, you know, what they were looking for, are you talking about like, so back in high school is when you met a lot of your girlfriends?
Yes. Or even earlier. I mean, it was middle school.
And that was even a part of our dating, like at the beginning, because when I think back, there was like three things you weren't worried to tell me because you were always very confident in who you were and like your identity. But within the first like month of knowing you, I remember we had a conversation about like living at home. I think we mentioned that on the last episode. And, you know, some people look down on that. And there was two more. So one more being a lot of your friends were girls. And then the third was just that you didn't have the consistent income. So I guess focusing first on having a lot of friends that were girls, because it started early on when you hung out with them and you never dated any of them.
I mean, one of my friends I've known since I was in third grade. And then the other ones I met, some in middle school, some in high school. So I've known them for upwards of 10 plus years, if not longer. And yeah, I didn't date any of them, but they give me a lot of good information on how they go on dates. And I think I can go back to like how I went on dates, because it was different than how they were taken on dates, because they would go to the bar, they'd go out to nice dinners.
So like high school time though, because that was like some of the first time you were probably like thinking about like, oh, I might be interested in this girl or whatever. But you're hearing from your friends, like what was their experience? So you're saying you got really good info.
So it wasn't even in high school. I didn't ask for any advice in high school. Everyone kind of knew each other in high school. So it was easier to date people at your school and whatever, because that wasn't really a big deal. It was when I didn't know the person and you had to make a good impression for the first time. So if like some of the people I dated at high school, I was in their class, like I saw them at sports games or whatever. So I already knew the people I was meeting. It wasn't like it was after high school and we had to go on dates with random people you didn't know.
I'm trying to understand, because like even I don't know that I've asked this question before. When you say you got the information from them, I think a lot of times it wasn't you asking for advice. It was just they were coming to you with a problem or hearing about it.
Yeah, I mean, it would just be like we were all hanging out and they would just talk about their dates. It wasn't even like I had to ask questions. It was like they would say stuff and I would just take it all in.
I think from the experience you heard firsthand, it was like, well, because this person just went on a date. That's the example I'm trying to understand. Did you ever have a girlfriend who was like, I just went on a date for a free meal? And so you heard that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
exactly.
Tell me those type of things. Like,
yeah.
You heard that as a red flag.
Well, I mean, I heard this from not even just close girlfriends. I've heard this from just a bunch of different people that they will just go on a date, even if they're not that interested in the guy, just to go get like free meals or free drinks or whatever. I don't want to spend my money on someone that I don't have a future with, or I don't know, see myself dating long term. So a lot of the times I would go on the first couple of dates just to get to know them. And it would be something more casual than a dinner or going to the bar, which I mean, I guess going to the bar is casual, but I would go on like drives. I'd go to the beach. I'd go do activities. Like we would go do something else that didn't require money. And that was, I guess, different than most guys. I don't know if that's true or not, but I just felt like I wanted to be my authentic self and I didn't see myself going to really fancy dinners, or I don't drink, so I'm not going to go to the bar. So I didn't want to perceive myself as like, oh, I'm going to go do these things with them and go on dates with them. And that's what I'm actually going to do even when we're dating. So that was kind of like a no for me to go to fancy dinners and bars. And that was just a little piece of how I first started going on dates. It was more of just, I'd rather get to know them first before we start spending money. Because if I go on, let's just say I go on 15 dates a year or whatever at the time, and I'm spending $50 to $100 each date. I mean, I'm spending $1,500+ on people I don't even know.
Yeah. What's the context of what exactly were you looking for in like a partner? What were you looking for, something long-term, or for people who don't know you? What was the goal for you, the outcome you were hoping from?
I think it changed throughout the years. So obviously in the end goal is always to find a partner for life and marriage and kids and family. I mean, that's always like the end goal, but going on dates with people, it was different between each period of like my life. After I got out of high school. So the first few years, I mean, I was in college, I was young. I didn't really care about the long term. I was just kind of going on dates just for fun.
Yeah.
And once I got a little bit older, that's when I started going on dates to find someone that was more my match long term. A couple of things that were important to me were like religious beliefs. They gotta like the beach. I really love that you were a gamer. That was like that was like an extra piece of the pie. I wouldn't say that was like a criteria. And then someone that's like really sweet and caring and nurturing, like that was something that was really important to me, because as like a wife and a like mother, that is like huge. And that was really what I was looking for, is someone that had those characteristics for being a wife and a mother. And so I guess anything that goes under that, it could go into more detail, but I think you get the picture of something, someone more.
You're saying I'm sweet and nice and caring.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
Yeah. You are spicy too, though.
I'm very spicy. I think that's where you compliment me in a lot of ways, because you're so calm. And yeah. But did you ever encounter with dates, like girls expected more than a first? I guess like if you guys just hung out, did you ever feel pressure that girls were trying to get you to be like boyfriend and girlfriend, or escalate when you were like, nah, I'm just here to hang out? And
I wouldn't say they pressured me, but they had emphasized, even if it was like more casual, they didn't even, a lot of the times they wouldn't even tell me that they were interested in more until after we stopped seeing each other.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. I think there was at least 3 or 4 people that, even if we were just like casually dating, hanging out, going on dates, whatever it is, and we stopped seeing each other for whatever reason, they would tell me later down the road that they were actually wanting to date. And I'm like, I mean, you never even brought that up.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So do you think, looking back, had those people been more open in communication with you? Because I know communication was a big piece for you too.
Yeah.
Do you think that would have given you more of an opportunity to think about it on a deeper level? Not, I mean, I'm so glad it worked out the way it did, but.
No, I don't think the ones that had said that I was wanting to date, I think it was like up in the air, but I didn't really see a future. And that was the main reason why I didn't go forward. It's like, I can, after a few times, I mean, really, once you start hanging out with someone, you can tell pretty quickly how compatible you are. And I didn't think long-term I was compatible with these people, so it didn't really matter to me, but it was interesting to know that. So even that whole time we were hanging out, that was like their intention, even though I didn't know. They didn't explain that to me or express it.
So do you think if people were dating now, would you give them advice to just speak their feelings? Like, what do you have to lose? That's what my mindset is.
I think it depends on who they're dating. So another thing I started out with is I would always say I'm interested in just getting to know each other. I would never be like, I'm looking for a girlfriend, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Like, I never threw that online because I think that put too much pressure on everything. And I actually want to go into this a little bit more, is that when people are looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend and they're upfront about that off the bat, which I understand if you are, people put on a, like, I don't want to say a mask, but they put on a different personality. I mean, obviously everyone's different. I'm not this is not a generalization, but I'm just saying what I've seen is that people aren't exactly who they are when they're trying to impress the person to date them, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, because if the stakes are high, like, oh, I'm looking for a life partner, you're going to present your best self to a fault. Yeah. And I think people understand. We are making a little bit of a generalization, and there's deviations from that.
But that's why they call it the honeymoon phase, is because that first 3 months of you dating that person, you are showing the best of you, typically. And once that comes into, okay, now we're just like, this is real life, and you're doing things like you're spending a lot more time together, you're seeing other things about them, that honeymoon phase ends and then reality kicks in. So I kind of approach dating as already at like the 3 month stage. Like I just gave what I was. Like I didn't try and sugarcoat anything. I didn't try and, you know, build myself up to be something that I'm not. I was just being me. I wasn't trying to put on my best behavior. I was just like, this is who I am. Like, take it or leave it. And I didn't really care.
I think that's really interesting. And that was one of the things I liked about you the most, was you just were who you were, and you take it or you leave it. That was actually really fun, I think, for me. I never really thought about it in this context, but I don't feel like we ever went through a quote-unquote honeymoon phase. We were always just how we are, even today. If anything, I think we were hit with baby Belusa syndrome or something.
Baby Belusa syndrome, what's that?
We started at a baseline instead of like starting off high. We started at a baseline and now we're parenting and tired.
Yeah.
But we still treat each other when we have downtime to hang out the same way before.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like there was this drastic dip once things became really committed to each other, which I really enjoy that, because from my past and my relationships, I've seen the love bombing, and that turns into, who is this person? I don't know this person. And I think sometimes our society gets caught up with like changing. Like there's this impression of like, oh, you're not the same person I dated. And I feel like we should embrace change, because you're always going to change in different seasons of life, whether you become a parent or if, you know, work becomes tougher, or I don't know, if you're just going through something, we aren't going to constantly stay the same. So even if you're at a baseline, there's always going to be deviations up and low.
I think it depends on the change, though. Like if it changes for the negative in a bad, like a really bad way, that could be alarming.
I'm not talking about like super anomalies from the standard. I'm talking about within the normal, acceptable, healthy levels of change, which would be like, I'm going through a depressive episode because I lost my job. Like I think you have to give context to it.
Yeah.
If you start dipping into like verbal abuse, that's like way past the line of acceptable.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. But, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, my person has changed. You're not who I dated. Like I remember from a past relationship being told that. And it was almost frustrating because like, well, I did change and I wasn't the same person, because at the time I had moved completely out of state, which that is very impactful when you've never done it before. You know, you've seen it firsthand in Texas. You feel different.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we have to just accept when you're going through life and be more open to that. I don't even know if that's a fully formed thought, but let me share to my perspective of dating and how this kind of came into play with role dynamics, because I feel like the way that we dated, we switched a little bit. Like the way I always approach dating, you know, people would ask me out, but they weren't usually the people I actually wanted to date. So normally I would just go ask people out if I wanted to. And if I didn't, then fine, whatever. I guess you can say I'm aggressive. I like when I know what I want, I kind of go that way. Like when it came to dating, I didn't really care if the guy asked me out or if I was the one who asked them out. Like if I asked them out, I'm more than happy to pay, because it's like, I invited you and we're going out to hang out. But even if they asked me out, I would always offer to pay. And, you know, thinking in that context, I've heard from different people, you know, there's some women who will not even give a guy a second date if they don't pay, which is kind of wild, because to your point, it's like, hey, we're both investing in this a little bit. And maybe I feel pretty strongly about that. I kind of think that first dates should just be split because it could go, it's probably going to not go great. I feel like for every one good date, there's four bad ones.
Yeah.
And it feels unfair to put that full weight on a man all the time. I mean, I don't know how many dates people go on, but.
I mean, with the accessibility of like Bumble and Tinder and all those, I mean, all the apps, it's like you can go on
like three weekends.
Yeah, you could go like on a date whenever you want. A lot of people I know go on a lot of dates that were single or are single. And that's what I got, went back to my opinion. It was like, I'm spending all this money and this person, if the date sucks and I'm still paying, it's like, well, I just wasted all that money and I'm never going to see this person ever again.
I remember I met a girl in college who literally would go on dates for dinner. That made me upset. You know, that there's some moral issues with that. You're like, yeah, well, I'm poor. And it's like, well, I am too.
Yeah, we all are.
It's just different. So the way I approached dating was always more of like an equal split. And until you're on like date two or three, having those conversations like, hey, we're going to continue to see each other. What do we both feel comfortable with pay?
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's anything wrong with people feeling like, oh, I want to be provided for. I want to be taken care of. But until you're at that comfortability level of being able to actually talk through it, I feel like there shouldn't be an expectation. Yeah. I think that's where disappointment comes in, is when you have these high bars for expectation that have not been communicated, especially on a first date. Unless you explicitly say, I'm not paying and they're supposed to pay, how are they supposed to know? It would kind of be a bummer if you went on a first date and just said, like, let's split it. And
I mean, I've seen videos of people saying that and the girl is just like absolutely offended.
Well, even if the date went well, if they didn't pay, there's no second date.
Yeah.
It feels kind of like a test.
It is.
Which is weird.
Especially on a first date.
But I also understand why, like, there's like a culture, a dating culture where it, like, if the man pays, it does feel good. I guess for me, I just didn't see that as a deal breaker, which I know some girls do.
I think once you start actually dating the person, I think that's when it should start kicking in. It's also nice for the girl to pitch in here and there. I think it's weird to have all financial
obligations
on the guy. Cause, I
that's
mean,
a lot of pressure, especially when you're in your young 20s.
Yeah.
And you're figuring stuff out.
Yeah.
I didn't say it.
No, you didn't.
The way we approached dating, I think we said it on the last one. We kind of were like, I like you. You like me. No, we don't want to date right now. I was going through some stuff I needed to work through. And it kind of set this playing field of like, we are friends. Obviously, we're married. So there's a reason why I never felt that way with anyone else. We had just been fully authentically ourselves. Most of our time spent was just going to In-N-Out. And one of my favorite foods is French fries. And I feel like I deprived myself my entire life of French fries. And I felt like you gave me permission to eat French fries. Not that I need permission, but
I came from a family of all boys. So it wasn't like weird to be like, I want to eat. I see that with some people, they want to hold back because they don't want to be like, oh, I eat all this food. It's like, dude, if you're hungry, eat some food. Don't deprive yourself for whatever reason. That was the way I went about it. So it felt good for you.
Within the first month, maybe even the second time we met, we went and got burgers. And you literally had sauce all over your mouth, which I feel like was a little excessive, but it made me feel really comfortable. Kind of like if you watch Hitch, Albert's dancing really goofy and yeah. Allegra was like, no, that made me feel so good because you let your weird out. And it gave me the safety of like, if I ever have stuff on my face, he already did it. And it gave me permission just to be a human instead of trying to like hold
dainty.
Yeah, I'm not super dainty if I'm honest. I'm a very clumsy, not spatially aware kind of a person. So you made me feel really good about myself. And even people will not order certain foods on the first few dates. I think people should just go out on a date, split the meal, and order the sauciest spaghetti they can find on the menu.
Very funny. I saw a video on Instagram and the caption was, what would you do if you went on a date on a first date with this girl? And it was a girl that would pour a bunch of sauces on her steak.
Oh,
grabbed it with both hands
and
just started eating it. And I was like, that is hilarious. Honestly, I would be impressed. I was like, I don't think girls have a different mindset than guys. I don't think many guys would care. I think they would think it's funny or whatever, but I mean, I wouldn't judge. I think that would be hilarious. Also, we did spend a lot of time playing games, which is really fun. I really enjoyed that.
Our first year together, I think we spent 50% of our time playing games.
Yeah.
And we'd play, like, I'd be in my apartment, you'd be at your house, and we'd play and talk, and then we'd be like, hey, are you hungry? And then, yeah, and we'd hang out and go to the pool. And that's what we did. And I think you said to me at one point, even if you weren't dating, these are the things you would do, and you don't like going out to, like, fancy restaurants.
Yeah.
You set the expectations early on, like, this is what I do. And for me, that's what I want to do, too. Yeah. I don't want to go to a fancy restaurant and eat 3 cubes of cheese.
I think the thing that we also need to add into this is that when you are married and then kids come into play, all that fun, all that going on those fancy dates, going to the bar, dancing, going to raves, whatever you do, that goes out the window real quick. Like, you are locked down in your house for months and months at a time, and you are just focused on taking care of a baby. Like, obviously you can go outside and go to the beach.
Temporarily.
Yeah, it's temporary. But I'm just saying, you're going to have a long portion of that time, even because when you're pregnant, you can't move that much either. So it's like, you're going to have at least 2 or 3 years of, like, things are going to be messy. You're going to get, there's going to be poop everywhere. You're going to be a disaster. You're going to be wearing all different types of clothes. You're not going to have your makeup done. You're not going to, I mean, it's going to be chaos. So I think having that point of comfortability well before you guys start dating is, I think, was important, because
big time,
because if you are going to marry that person or have a long relationship with that person or whatever it be, you're going to be going through a whole different life if you guys have kids.
That's a huge reason why I felt so safe with you growing up in high school. I had an eating disorder for almost 3 years, so food was always sensitive to me, but then, like, I just like makeup. I don't really care if I don't wear makeup. But one topic when we were starting to see each other that I'm avoiding names, but a friend brought up to me was that you had a lot of model friends, and wouldn't I be insecure for my whole life because all these, you're surrounded by beautiful women and blah, blah, blah. And it's funny because that never crossed my mind, because you always made me feel so good about myself. And even when I went to the beach and stuff, like, no makeup, getting crazy, cuckoo sand hair that's going the wrong direction, all of that kind of stuff.
Well, that was, so for me, the most important thing, like, going to the beach, I love being in the water. I don't go to the beach to sit and tan. Like, I want to go do activities. I want to play spike ball. I want to surf. I want to be in the water. And I kind of wanted, I was hoping to find a partner that would love the water as much as me. And so you being in the water, going to the beach, that made such a big difference than just, oh, I'm just going to go there and tan and just lay out. I'm like, well, I understand that, but that was way more important to me than you doing your makeup to go to the beach. Like, you jump in the water and you swim with me, that was tenfold better than just being all done up. You know, I don't really care.
I think I would have probably struggled had I not met you to fully embrace just that side of myself. I think I was getting there. I just think it would have taken me a lot more years. Because there's this culture of Instagram and social media that shows only perfect people. And you're starting to see more people that are more unfiltered, but I love the water. And that was just such a fun thing. And because you made me feel so safe, it was like, duh, I'm going in the water. Like, I'm not sitting here. I have major FOMO. So if you're in the water, I do not want to sit on a towel. Yeah. And, you know, with the girl, the modeling comment. So I never felt that way because of how you treated me. And then once we, you know, even when I was pregnant, like, my body went through a lot of changes. You have never, ever once made a comment about my body or about going to the gym. And I honestly think I'm healthier because of it. Like, I'm choosing to eat healthier or be active. And by active, I mean, like, picking up toys for 10 minutes. But, like, after birth, I lost a lot of hair. I mean, I lost at least half an inch of my hairline on my forehead. I am bald. I cut my bangs out of necessity, not a fashion statement. And you didn't even like notice. When I put on makeup, Matt's the kind of guy that will say, he won't even say anything. Like he doesn't notice the difference. Literally, I mean, I forgot to put mascara on the other day. And I was like, oh, that's why my makeup looks weird. I didn't put mascara on. And you looked at me and you were like, what?
I didn't even know really where, what you were talking about at all.
And I take that, like, I don't know, you just always build me up. And if I wish I could go back and like build that into myself. I wish someone would have just told me, you are allowed to not be perfect all the time.
Well, another thing for, so I'm going to do the comments. So I think experiencing all the people that model, and I guess I got firsthand with like relationships with these people, and I knew, I mean, it's not like I was like best friends, but like I got to know them really well. And what you see on the outside does not reflect what you have on the inside. And that was really important to me, was to find someone that had the inner qualities were much, you know, were the most important thing. Like, I don't care how good you look. If you're a crappy person at heart, I'm not, I mean, it doesn't matter how good you look to me. It doesn't make a difference, which I know a lot of guys don't think that way, but I had already experienced all these people. So it didn't affect me the same way if a guy just ran up to a model and was like, oh, well, you're really pretty, blah, blah, blah. And then
nothing there.
Yeah. It's like, I didn't need to go after these people because I already got to know them and I knew that that's not anything I wanted.
And there are pretty girls that have wonderful personalities.
Yes, they are. Of course there is. That's not even a question. I mean, so I'm going to go back. There is one model that she was the sweetest person ever. And she also, her looks were
amazing. Yeah.
I mean, she got on one of the most popular Netflix shows, and she was on the cover of it. Like, and I spent like 5 days with her in Mexico.
The cool thing about that too is because we are so tight and what's the word? Stable is not the right word.
Comfortable?
No, it's not even comfortable. It's like we're locked in. Huh. I have no feelings. Like, if anything, I'm a big fan of just admiring, like, wow, that person worked hard for that.
Yeah.
So if, you know.
Oh, yeah. We're open to complimenting people that we see. Like, whoa, she's a good looking person.
Right? And we'll tell each other.
But that's it. We don't know these people. So it's just, what's it called? Face value?
Face value.
Face value.
Oh, my gosh. Nudge.
Yeah.
Like, look over there. That person looks awesome. Or like, their tattoos are so cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what else was I going to talk about with that? I just think the message here is just be yourself. It's not worth it. It's wasting people's time to spend 6 months, a year, a few years, just like to win someone over. If they're going to like you, they're going to like you. And don't hide your real personality. If you're goofy, show it.
Yeah.
I think people like goofy.
Yeah, goofy's fun.
Okay, this goes two ways too.
Okay.
So with the looks thing, because when I met you, you had braces.
Oh, yeah.
And sorry, this is just important to me because two things that stood out to me, your work ethic, and I knew you were cute and I thought you're super handsome, but you had braces. So I was like, this is an advantage to me because other girls might not like that. But I know when you take those off, you're going to be like a little caterpillar turning into a butterfly. And I really like him.
She's funny.
And I remember you were nervous about that too, but like, I didn't care. Yeah. And I think letting go of the small things is really important to find your person. If you're looking, like, don't give them a chance. Cause if I had just looked at like, well, we didn't do anything fancy and he has braces and cause you got braces pretty late too. Cause it was the second time I think you had braces.
Second time, yeah.
And yeah. Anyway, so I just want to put that out there.
Yeah.
Selfishly, I was like, this guy's worth investing in.
You're capitalizing on that.
Yeah, 100%.
Sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's funny.
Now turning to our dynamic.
Yeah, so when we first met, I was just getting into real estate, and I was still coaching at the high school. And so my income was very fluctuating and not a big,
it wasn't consistent.
It wasn't consistent, and it wasn't like a lot of money. Like, if you make a sale on a house, like, you're making, like, your at the end of all the taxes stuff, you're profiting like $8,000. And that can take 6 months. I mean, to find a client, get a house, you know, close on escrow. I mean, it takes a long time to get that done. So it wasn't super consistent. So
I had no problem.
Yeah, you didn't care about that.
Because I was making enough money where it was like, honestly, I like you so much. I'm totally cool. Like, you were pretty good though. Like when we dated,
it was like we definitely split. Like we try to do like one off, one on. And I thought that was really nice. I think that was like, it made me feel comfortable. It's like, dude, I'm blowing all my money just to go out. It's like, you made that really, and that's why we liked each other. Cause it was like, we both thought the same way and it was not weird. It wasn't like taboo to us. It was like,
We agreed from the beginning.
I mean, it's just, we were just rational about it. You know, it's like, okay, if we're going to Palm Springs for the weekend or whatever it was that we did, it's like, we didn't always have to be like, that one person has to pay for everything.
Well, that's a good example because I really wanted to go to Palm Springs and I wanted to take someone with me. And so I booked the whole trip before I even knew if you were going or not. And I basically invited you and I paid for it just purely from the standpoint of, I wanted to go. Yeah. I don't expect you to pay for it.
I brought my camera and we took a bunch of fun pictures. So it was like, we have memories from it too. So it was fun. So I think that it was nice to get memories of the things we do also.
Yeah, I like looking back at pictures. So when we were dating, it was pretty much 50-50 split across the board. And then once we were in a more committed situation, I had no problem. Like this was talked about well before we were in that position. But, and by that, I mean, we had a conversation about starting a family together and it was very, very blunt because we weren't like, we were boyfriend and girlfriend at that point, but it was really just, you know, even if this didn't work out, we knew communication wise, like worst case scenario, if we split, we still valued having a baby together.
Yeah.
With obviously the long-term goal of this is our commitment to each other. And
it happened quick.
Yeah.
So it was like, what, like a month or two into us officially dating? We already had the conversation. I mean, we had talked about it for six months. We were already hanging out for over a year at that time.
Yeah.
So we've already been with each other. I mean, we talked every single day for a year straight, at least. Until, I mean, even going up to that was probably longer.
So. And you probably saw one of the worst years of my life.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I think maybe that'll be the next episode. But basically, Matt stood by my side through some dark, 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 dark days. And if we got through that and we still liked each other, I think we're good.
Yeah.
So we talked about it. And then a month later, when we really decided like, hey, we're going to try, we were really, really, really lucky. We got pregnant right away, like a month after
moved in
together.
And that's when our whole dynamic switched because then it was like,
we're in it.
Now I have to prepare to take care of the baby while you're working. Like that was like, okay, now we have to get ready for this. And we just started living together. So we had to kind of learn how to live together while you were pregnant. And then we also had to prepare for how to handle having a baby.
And I would say us moving in together, we really didn't have any major hangups, like besides figuring out chores, like who did what, that was a big part of it. But I think there was no issue out the gate of like, here's how much you make, here's how much I make, I'm going to cover these bills. So I took care of a lot of just our existence, which I think is a big part to play in role dynamics. So then we have the baby. Matt is a stay-at-home dad mom and I'm the worker girl. And what shocked us the most was we never really asked for input or feedback. We kind of just go by what feels right to us and what works in our family. And there's a lot of comments I want to talk about. The first one was after we had the baby.
Yeah, this is like a week or two after the baby was born, and there was a person that she was getting her hair done in our house because her mom's a hairdresser, and she made like, I went out there and said hi, blah blah blah, and
She saw the baby.
I think I showed her the baby, blah, blah, blah. And then once the baby left, she's like, all right, well, you're getting back to work now? Like, and it was like, a derogatory type of comment. So it wasn't like, oh, you're getting back to work, go back to work, blah, blah, blah. It was like,
you're going back to work.
Yeah. She's like she was just being very adamant about, all right, now, like
when
your time's done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's hard to put it into words on how she said it, but it was like, she was demeaning me about how, I don't know. It's hard.
She
to
didn't
explain.
Even understand the context. She didn't know that you were the one who was going to stay home. So the way that she said it was strange.
It was strange. And I mean, I think that we've had other comments I don't know.
That essentially someone told me point blank, there's no way you could possibly be fulfilled being a dad and that you needed to go back to work. Yeah. Which blew my mind.
Yeah.
Because just I've had a job, like you did sports, and there's a big value and emphasis on sports. I've had a job since I was 15 and a half. Like I literally worked at Hot Topic, then I worked at a cupcake shop, and then Yosemite and Disneyland. I worked a cybersecurity company, and now I'm in corporate real estate. And so like my experience is just, I've been really thankful and lucky for what I've gotten to do and how far I've come. But you could not make what I make right now. And there's no reason for you to, because I do enjoy my job. And I just think it's just not logical for you to go back to work right now. I would much rather pay. Like, if you went back to work, you probably would start somewhere around 60. And that would not even begin to cover childcare.
Yeah.
I feel lucky we're in a position that you do get to take care of her because I know she's safe with you.
Yeah. I think that it's really important for a parent to be home. Like after just being out here and like seeing how hard it is. I mean, you're working from home and she's still having such a hard time like being away from a parent. And I'm still with her and I'm like literally with her all day. Mm-hmm. It's like you can see the effects it has on your child just being away from your parents.
She gets distressed sometimes.
I mean, it probably goes the same way for if a dad is not there either. And I think it has a huge impact on a child's life just watching it happen in real time. And if you're not there, you don't get any of these moments I don't know. There's just, it's crazy the things that I've learned being there with her every single day. She's developing differently because she's with her dad all day.
I can try.
Okay, try and summarize it for me.
So you used a good term earlier, which is like one thing you liked or you were looking for in a wife, which I guess I have, I don't know, is nurturing. And let me just say, if there are single parents out there, mad respect to you. I do not know how you do it because we, as two parents, are struggle bus.
Yeah.
Like if we... I fall into the cycle of putting clothes in the washer and then forgetting them for 3 days and having to wash them again. And there's two of us. And you help move them, of course, but I just don't know how people do it on their own. It's crazy to do that. So what I'm trying to get to is when I'm with Emerson, I'm going to throw myself under the bus here. I am so paranoid about her getting hurt. And do you know who she has gotten hurt with the most? Do you?
Are you talking to me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know exactly who she got hurt.
Who is it?
That's you.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Okay, and you
didn't get hurt with me.
You explained it to me once, and it made total sense. Matt does not like helicopter over her at all. When she started to stand up, she just stood up, and he let her do her thing. Whereas when I was with her and she would stand up, I would sit right on top of her, and if she started to wiggle, I'd help her up with her balance. So what was happening is, when she's with me, she's comfortable to throw herself around knowing someone's always going to catch me. So the one time I'm not there to catch her, she's not paying any attention and she falls.
Yeah, hard.
Yeah,
hard. She's expecting to be caught.
Yeah. Whereas with you, you tell her, please be careful, careful.
I mean, that's what I repeat almost 90 times a day. And she knows now, like if I say be careful, she knows that she's in somewhat of a dangerous situation and has to figure it out.
She looks over her shoulder at you when you say that. Yeah. And she's like, oh, okay. I mean, I believe that kids understand a lot more than what we think they do.
She knows exactly what she's doing. This baby is extremely intelligent. I mean, I had an earphone or earplug, whatever it was. No, it was an
AirPod. It's like an AirPod.
AirPod, whatever. I had an AirPod in my ear, and she wanted to take it out, and she just kept on moving my face over and over and over because I kept on trying to stop her to get that AirPod out of my ear. And I'm like, this baby knows leverage. She knows, I mean, she's just really intelligent. So I try and give her as much knowledge, I guess, as I can. And I try to speak it to her, even though she still doesn't really understand everything that we're talking about.
Right. What I think is because of how, I guess, overbearing, but I'm so worried to the point of she is not learning for herself, whereas you enable her to figure it out, whereas I come to her rescue constantly. So I really like that dynamic because she learns with you and you take the time to practice over and over and over and over again. And I know how hard this is because there's almost this natural instinct, at least that I've experienced. I have a physical reaction when she cries, and Matt surprisingly does too.
Oh yeah, I mean, it hurts.
But there's days too when it's like for you, you know, even when you're at your breaking point, you still treat her so softly and kindly. And I don't know if that's how all dads are, but like I watch how you interact with her and it just is really special. But I also know it can be really boring.
Oh, it's so boring.
Whereas I really enjoy, and I don't know if this is because I'm working all the time, but I love just like having her around. I love doing things with her, cleaning with her, staying busy with her because she just wants to be part of it all.
I think having her for like 12 hours a day, that's where the patience for things wears out a bit for me. I think when you get off work, it's like a present to have her and to go do things with her.
Because yeah.
Like, I haven't seen you in 10 hours, whatever it is. I haven't seen you all day. And now I get you for, you know, a few hours before bedtime and it's like fun and happy. You're excited to see her. For me, it's like, we were up at 6 o'clock today. And I mean, we're just exhausted and she won't nap. I think when you're with them and dealing with it all day, your patience obviously I love spending time with her. She's our whole life, but I think the patience and thing, it's hard to, you have to really like have inner strength to like cope with it. Because it can get frustrating at times.
I saw a quote this week that said, I love you more than anything in life, but will you please take a nap?
Yeah.
Like that pretty much sums it up. It's like, please, I need a break. It's not that you don't want to be with them. It's that you don't want to be responsible for them anymore in this moment. Like you need a break.
Yeah. You need them to be like, just in one place.
Yeah. Because she never stops moving. She has never stopped since she came.
She's an energizer bunny. Another study, I did hear a study recently, and what they said is once a baby is born, a dad's testosterone drops dramatically to care for a baby. And the longer that the father is near the baby, the testosterone doesn't come back to its normal levels. And so what that does create is it creates empathy. And I mean, there's a couple of things that it creates. Not having the testosterone that a man normally has. And I think that since I became the primary caregiver since she came out, it was like, okay, that testosterone is not back.
Well, it impacted your energy levels majorly.
It impacts a lot, but it also impacts a lot to the negative and the positive, where I can now be empathetic towards her. I can be like caring. I can deal with those moments rationally without getting angry and upset because I don't have that testosterone that would put me in those levels because it hasn't came back because I've just been there with her ever since.
You don't get angry and upset though.
I don't, but I mean, I'm just saying when testosterone, yeah. it
elevates
get that
rage.
Yeah, not rage, but like, I mean, it's just a hormone, you know?
Even when you're at your end, your patience end, the bottom of your barrel or whatever you want to call it, you're still very calm. And I'm going to equate that to just your personality type.
I think that is in day-to-day life. I think I only have a switch when I'm in sports.
That's true.
That's the only time where my switch totally, I turn into like a different person when it comes to sports, because then my adrenaline, my competitiveness, like everything heightens dramatically. And that's where I only use it when I am in sports. And that's when I get very vocal, very passionate.
We get that way in video games.
Yeah. My normal intensity level is like a 10%.
I think it's really cool. I don't think you've ever screamed at me.
No.
Which is really nice. That's a really nice thing to have. So we have an interesting life dynamic, and it's not the norm. And I would just caution people when they want to just throw out little jabs, like, why isn't he working? Or
he's not going to be satisfied taking care of the baby.
Just think about it, because that might just be the way that it worked out for them.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, this is such a good experience for both of us to experience the opposite side. Like, now I know what women go through every single day taking care of a baby. Now you know the pressures that men have on financial stability, like taking care of a family. And so obviously I would love to be working and making money for our family and providing, and I'm sure you would love to be with Emerson all day, but we are both experiencing the opposite. And it's, I think, super insightful.
It's cool that even though we're in this situation and these are our primary roles, we still are able to like leverage our strengths. You manage our finances and you're doing a lot of research. You're enabling us to make steps in the right direction where I just genuinely wouldn't have time for, like in my work.
Yeah.
And then I bring value when it comes to like the weekend. I can like hyper clean to a crazy extent where like for you, when you have the baby, you have the baby. Whereas like earlier today, you got tired and I was happy to take her. And while I had her, I was able to clean up the living room. Whereas your focus is her. I have an ability to kind of manage both.
Yeah.
And I think that's some of the good in it too, because we balance in a lot of ways.
I think another thing is she's been getting so heavy and like having to carry her for the past 10 months. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just puts a lot on your body, like mm-hmm. your physical, like your back. You just start getting exhausted from holding her. Have to be present in those situations because I don't obviously want her to fall and hurt herself. So I'm getting exhausted from just moving, and I don't really have the time to. I mean, it's hard for me to do both.
Yeah, life is hard.
It's very
hard. Well, I think that was all we were planning to talk about today. Yeah. It's kind of a ramble.
It was, yeah. I mean, all of these are pretty much rambles.
Rambles, but it's a different perspective. Maybe it put some new ideas in your mind and how you approach things. And if it didn't, tell us what works for you. Because I don't think there's one simple way that people should be boxed into. Mm-mm. So
I think it's also good for people to experience different roles.
Oh, you already were so appreciative of your mom. And that was a big deal to me. Because it's like, I think the traditional way of like a stay-at-home mom, it's like, well, you were home all day. Why are you tired?
Yeah.
That's so wrong.
If any man ever says, you've been at home with the baby all day, why are you tired? Why isn't there food? Why isn't it clean? They need to be put in their place. But the thing, like, it's just they won't ever, if they don't experience it, they don't really know how exhausting it is.
You can talk about it all day and people don't understand it.
I mean, the things I want to say, but yes, it's exhausting. Men, don't shame or ever say anything negative to your wife that's taking care of a baby. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, that's a good note to end on.
And that's coming from a person that played one of the hardest sports in the world for 15 years.
You're saying parenthood's harder than water polo?
It's harder than water polo. Mm-hmm. I promise you that.
Okay.
Even at the collegiate level.
Okay.
you don't trust me?
I'm just trying to wrap it up.
Okay, let's wrap it up.
We're paying for babysitters.
Oh, yeah. She's crying.
Okay, bye, you guys. Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in.
Now that got weird.